Welcome to Hebrew Club. And thanks to Tom Egger last week for getting us through the first part of chapter 18. And we're continuing, actually. He got us all the way through verse 9, correct? At the Setuma, which is what that sigma stands for, or Samech, close paragraph. And so we're going to take it up with verse 10. Remember, we're already getting this tension developing between Saul and David as David increases and Saul decreases. This is kind of an interesting account, and you get some insight into David's personality here and how he's taking everything that's going on. All right? So we start with verse 10. Vayahi mimacharat va titzlach ruach Elohim ra el Shaul va yit nabe betok habayit ודוד מנגן בידו כיום ביום, והחנית ביד שאול. Okay, Vayahi. Now it came to pass, mimacharat, on the morrow, on the next day. Macharat means next day or morrow, and the min is attached preposition. So it came to pass on the next day. Notice it's a temporal expression, comma, vatitzlach. Notice that this is the root salach. Now notice what the subject is. Ruach Elohim Ra'ah. A spirit of God, an evil one. So an evil spirit of God. Zalach to shut to Saul. Alright? Some translate this, an evil spirit of God rushed upon Saul. The Jewish Publication Society translates it with an interesting, I like this translation better, an evil spirit of God gripped Saul, Zalach. All right? You're going to notice this expression a couple of times through this narrative. Actually, we've already had it. Remember when Saul, earlier in the narrative, the Spirit of God came on him? This is the same word that was used, Zalach. So we're not, again, the reason I hesitate on the translation is because we're not quite sure what he's talking about and how this manifested itself. Alright? Vayit nabe. Now notice that this is a hit pa'el of the verb nava, to prophesy. Very interesting, this there's two kind of conjugations that predominate with this verb. The hit pa'el and the nifal. This is one of those roots in which like to hide. Sometimes it's to hide yourself, nifal. Sometimes call, hit pael. And also to bless. Remember in Genesis 12, in you all nations of the earth will be blessed or bless themselves. Again, you have the hit pael, nifal exchange. Now, a lot of people suggest that this particular conjugation or experience refers to kind of ecstatic experience. And we've discussed this a little bit before. What exactly is being referred to? What did Saul do when this evil spirit gripped him? See? And he started, and he prophesied. That's really how you translate it. He prophesied. As far as the usage of the Nifal and Hitpael, they seem to overlap. Because in a couple places in Samuel, it's first the Hitpael is used and the Nifal. In the narrative literature, the Hitpael predominates. When you get to Jeremiah and Ezekiel, it's almost always the Nifal. So remember, those guys took place later, and so I'm wondering if there's, you know, if it's either because of the way the Hebrew language moved, or it's because of a dialectical difference or preference. It's really hard to say. But here we have the Hitpael. So an evil spirit of God rushed to Saul, or gripped Saul, and he prophesied the Tok HaBayit, in the midst of the house, in the midst of his house. Okay? V'David menagen beyado. And David, here menagen, notice it's a PL participle, was playing an instrument. Okay? Was playing an instrument in his hand, beyado. And again, it's thought that it's a lyre or something like that. Okay? Kayom bayom, as day in day. And that's simply how we would express daily, as he did every day, basically, as daily. So in other words, this is what he would do as his custom. Okay? Vehachanit beyad Shaul. And this javelin or spear was in the hand of Saul. Now don't ask me what he was doing with it. Spear in his hand while he's prophesying, but we know that that's a dangerous combination. Yeah, don't prophesy with a javelin in your hand. All right.
Few good men when he talks with a bat.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I like that. Any questions about any construction in verse 10? All right. Here's what happens, verse 11. Va'yatel Shaul et ha'chanit, and Saul hurled the javelin. This va'yatel is a hiphil from tool, to hurl. And it's the same, it's not our kind of hurl, it's to throw and to toss. Brent got it. Well, a few guys with young kids, they'll get that. Toss, yeah, I know. You can't get away from it. All our language. Yeah, there we go. The same word used in Jonah, you know, when they wanted to throw Jonah overboard. It's tool, the hiphil of tool. So Saul hurled the chanit, the javelin, va'yomer, and he said, Akeh b'David uvakir. Akeh, what's the root? Can anyone see it? From Naka. Good.
It's a hip field. That's always the answer when you ask.
Yeah. It's like, you guys will have one word down. Yeah. Notice that this is a hip field. Cohortative form from Naka. Notice it follows with the bait. And so here a good meaning for this is, and he said, I will thrust it into David. Okay, notice the object is understood to be the chanit. I will thrust it into David and into the wall. See? So, in very idiomatic English, I'm going to pin David to the wall. See, so I will thrust it into David and into the wall. Vayisov David mipanav pa'amim. And David, savav, that's from, that's a simple call from savav, and it means to go around. And David went around mipanav, went around him, from before him, literally. Pa'amim, notice that that's a dual form from pa'am, means step, but also in reference to time. So he went around him twice, or two times. So, you know, we'd probably say David dodged it twice, or something like that. So David was probably, I don't know, running around the room and running around him trying to get away from Saul as he's playing pin the tail on David. All right. Yeah. Any questions about verse 11, any of the verb forms or anything? Okay. Verse 12. Va'yira Shaul mi lifnei David ki haya Yahweh imo u meim Shaul sar. Saul was what? Va'yira. Saul was afraid. Notice the call imperfect from Yareh. The yud has disappeared in the vav consecutive, the yud of the root. All right. And Saul was afraid of, again, mi lifnei, of David. Ki haya Yahweh imo, for Yahweh was with him. So evidently Saul realized what was happening. U meim Shaul sar. And so from with, again notice Hebrew loves to pile up prepositions as we've seen all through here. And from Saul he, namely David, left. He turned away from Saul. In other words, he got out of there. Okay, and it's going to become more specific as to exactly what happened in the next verse. Alright? So you can see the tension kind of escalating rapidly in these verses. Any question about anything in verse 12? Okay, verse 13. Vayesirehu Shaul me'imo. Okay, and now notice this is from the root sur, the same root as the previous sur, sar. This is a hiphil, though. A hiphil vav consecutive from sur. Saul removed him. Okay? Yesirehu. Saul removed him, me'imo, from with him. Again, piling up from him or from before him is what we would say. Okay? Vayesimehu lo sar aleph. And he appointed him. What's the root of yesimehu? From seem. Good. This is a hiphil from seem. And Saul appointed him, and I take this low as possessive, appointed him as his tsar, prince, or general of a thousand, Ela. So he put him over 1,000 men. Okay? Vayetse, and he went out, Vayavo, and he came. Notice how the Masoretes have kind of separated those. And he went out and came, Lifne, before Ha'am. Here, notice Ha'am doesn't mean people, it means troops, before the troops. We've seen this before in Samuel. So David went out and came in before the troops.
How do we know that means troops?
Just the context, because it's just in the same verse he put him over 1,000, yeah. And we saw that earlier with Saul and his troops as well. So it doesn't mean he went out and came in before the people, but he was the leader, see? Okay?
Is there a Hebrew word for troops?
Oh, yeah, there's different words for army. Zava is one,
right.
I remember. But, yeah, Am just kind of actually has that meaning in Samuel. Okay? Any other questions?
Is there a way to know for sure that David is the subject of Yetse?
Only by the context. Right. And we're and notice we're going because just immediately said it's kind of explaining, notice if you just kind of want to look more carefully at how the clause is constructed, it's explaining more carefully what it means to be a leader of 1,000. It's just giving us this little information. He made him his leader over 1,000. And so he went in and out with the troops. See? Or he went out and in before the troops. So it's kind of telling us just a little bit, this is what the leader does. So that's how, remember before this, where was David stationed? The station was Saul. And Saul wouldn't let him go. And he played music daily, you know. So evidently he was kind of an aide to Saul. But that changed here after this incident.
But didn't we hear earlier that David was in fact put in charge of some portion of the army?
Maybe not officially. I mean, yeah, that's, again, it's interesting because it seems in the first part of 18 that there was some time passing, but when you get to verse 6, for example, it seems to go back to the one event, the defeat of the Philistines, because remember it says there, when they were coming, that is, when David was returning from striking the Philistine, the women went out. So, you know, again, the temporal sequence. I'm not quite sure how much time's passing here. Okay? Verse 14. Vayahi David lekol derakav maskil vayawa imo. Okay, and it came to pass that David, in all his ways maskil, I don't know, acted prudently, acted wisely, some say prospered. All right? But this is from, notice that this is the Hippial participle from Sakal, to be prudent, to be wise. Okay? So in all his derakav, notice the form of derakav, the Karay reading wants you to read this as a plural. That's why you have the weird pointing. It's not derako, it's derakav. There's just a yud, they're suggesting that the better reading has a yud in it. Okay? So David, in all his ways, acted wisely, and Yahweh was with him. Again, here's kind of another explanation as to why David had so much success. Verse 15, Vayar Sha'ul asher hu maskil me'od. And Saul saw, notice that Vayar, Saul saw. Now notice here, after a verb of perception, asher is a complement, very similar to ki. Saul saw that he, maskil, me'od, acted very, very wisely. Okay, in other words, you might say, was very skilled, or something like that. Okay, vayagar mipanav. Here's another word for fear. Can anyone see what the root of vayagar is? Gur. Gur. All right, magor is a noun, means terror. What other common meaning does gur have? To sojourn, very good. A ger is a sojourner. So you get two for the price of one here. The third meaning of it is to actually fight or to attack, and that's a rarer meaning of the word. So here, it's again Saul's fear. Notice how Saul's fear kind of keeps coming to the foreground vis-a-vis David, Nipana, from before him. Okay, any questions about verse 15? Good, verse 16. V'kol Yisrael, vihuda ohevet David, Ki hu yotze vaba lifnehem. And all Israel and Judah ohev, loved David. Why? Ki hu. For he, yotze vaba. For he was going out and coming in. Notice the two participles. For he was coming and going, or going and coming, before them. Alright? So notice, this is kind of a foreshadowing of what happens with Bathsheba. Right? It's kind of interesting, isn't it? So they appreciated the fact that, again, David was doing what he was supposed to be doing, I suppose, and leading the people, actually.
Since it says all Israel was loving him because he was coming, going out and coming before him, couldn't we take the people in verse 13 to be just the Israel, not the troops?
You could. I'm not sure if they're referring to kind of two different actions here or not. In other words, notice verse 16 is kind of a summary. All Israel loved David. Why? For he was going out and coming before them. You could, you know, if you want to understand this parallel, you could perhaps say he was coming out and going with the troops before the people. I suppose that you could understand the end of 13 like that, and then understand 16 in the same light. They could see that he was leading the troops in and out. Yeah, that's not bad. Okay. Any other thoughts about verse 16? So notice how the narrator is kind of summarizing David's growing popularity here and giving reasons why he's as popular as he is. Okay, verse 17. Vayomer Shaul el David. Then Saul said to David, ah, plan B. Hine biti hagedola meirav ota et Eten leka leisha. Look, my daughter, Hagedola, the oldest, the great one. And we would just say the oldest. Look, my oldest daughter, Merav, from greatness, from abundance. I don't know. Maybe that means she was a little heavy set. I don't know. I'm just supposing. I don't know. He doesn't end up marrying her, as you know. Okay, Merav. Okay, yeah, yeah. Ota et leka. She I will give to you, Leisha, as a wife. She I will give to you as a wife. Akayet li levenchail. But, ak, heh, yeah, notice that's a simple call imperative. Be for me a benchail. Be for me a warrior. It's literally a son of valor. Okay, be a warrior for me. And again, this is not that uncommon of a phrase in the historical books. And we've had it earlier, actually, in Samuel. So be a hero, a warrior, a valiant one for me. Vehilachem, and fight, nifal from lacham, and fight mil chamot Yahweh, and fight the battles of Yahweh. Okay? Now, here's his ulterior motive. Veshaul amar, Al tehi yadibo, u tehi bo yad pelishtim. And Saul thought, here I would translate Amar not as say, but as thought. And Saul thought, let my hand not be on him, but let the hand of the Philistines be on him. See, so notice he was really pushing him. You be the valiant one. You be my hero, my warrior, because he's thinking, well, eventually those guys get killed. Okay. Questions about verse 17? Verse 18. Vayomer David el Shaul. And David said to Saul, Mianake umi chayai mishpachat avi beYisrael. Who am I and what is my life? Chat Yai, and what is my life? Notice the pause. Mishpacha Avi, the family of my father in Israel. So I would kind of put probably after my life a couple dashes, you know, to kind of express it like that. And David said to Saul, who am I? And what is my life? That is to say, the family of my father in Israel. Okay? Ki ehyeh chatan, that I will be chatan, that I will be son-in-law lamelech, to the king.
So me can mean both who and what sometimes?
Right. And you especially see that in, again, more colloquial kind of language, the who and the meh, or the me and the meh. All right, verse 19. We'll do one more verse here. Vayehi be'et teit et merav bat sha'ul le David vehi nitna le'ad riel ha-mecholati le'esha. Now, I don't know what happened here. Okay, it came to pass at the time of the giving Merab, the daughter of Saul, to David. Okay, so now it came to pass when it was time to give Merab, the daughter of Saul, to David, that she nitna, was given. Notice that that is a niphal from Natan, third feminine singular. So it came to pass, so when the time came to give Merab, the daughter of Saul, to David, that she was given to Adriel, the Mecholati, the Mecholatite. I don't know, Tom, you know what that is?
I don't either.
Somebody from Methol.
Yeah, as a wife. Yeah, someone from Methol. Yeah, I don't know, maybe he was a dancer or something. Yeah. So it's a little, he's a little more, less masculine, let's say. So anyway, Merab was given away right under his nose for whatever reason. All right, we'll continue with verse 20 next week. Thanks, guys.